Hello, Blazers. Welcome to episode 120 of UAB Green and Told, originally released Monday, March 25th, 2023. Through our podcast, we are given the opportunity to share stories from members of the UAB community. Listen to previous episodes of Green and Told at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. While there, I'd like to encourage you to leave a written review to help more alums find us. I'm Greg Berry, a UAB alum and Director of Communications in the Office of Alumni Affairs. From Maxwell Air Force Base to the Tuskegee Airmen, Alabama has a strong attachment to all things airborne. However, as today's guest, Dr. Brian Barsanti, will share, you may be surprised how far back the state's history actually runs.
The roots of aviation history in Birmingham and the roots of aviation history throughout the state of Alabama run deep, all the way back to the Wright brothers, right? The beginning of powered flight.
Plus, we'll discover how he found his way into his current role, one that dates back more than a decade and a half.
I was in the history department one day, and I was reading the paper when the newspaper was printed on a regular basis.
And with a PhD in educational leadership, we'll learn what it's like for Brian when he gets in front of a room full of students.
You know, it was like a 8 a.m. class or something, right? Like 8 to 8:50, you know? So afterwards, it was this natural high. I felt like I needed to go to the pub and celebrate, you know, but it was, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Dr. Brian Barsanti is a Tigers fan. No, not the Tigers you're probably thinking of. For him, it's the Detroit Tigers. That's right. He was born in Detroit and raised in San Antonio. Well, he grew up loving history, doing what he does today, working in a museum, wasn't exactly what he had in mind.
Oh, man. You know, I said, you know, someday I'm going to be the director of a museum in Birmingham, Alabama. No, that was nowhere on the radar, man. You know, I liked sports, right? I liked, you know, I loved playing baseball. And I got into aquatics, man. I was a swimmer through high school. That never took me to the next level. I collected baseball cards. I mean, if you were a baseball fan, you probably did that, you know, back in its heyday before the market sort of bottomed out on those things. And I hear they're making somewhat of a comeback. I don't know. But yeah, man, I think I was just, you know, a normal kid.
When did you move to San Antonio?
So I was still in grade school.
Okay.
And then I finished high school there. Ended up graduating with my undergraduate degree from Texas A&M University at Corpus Christi. It was, by that time, really in its infancy, part of the Texas A&M system. And I went to college down on the beach. And took me only 5 years to finish that program. And, I moved to Alabama shortly thereafter. I came out here and I went to grad school at UAB. I had a little bit of a break, a couple years, I guess. I finished with my master's in history from UAB, and then that was around 2004-ish. Started teaching part-time with UAB after that as an adjunct. I did that for a number of years. And man, I was in the history department one day, and I was reading the paper when the newspaper was printed on a regular basis, and I saw an ad in the paper for a position at the Southern Museum of Flight, and I walked down the hall to the department chair's office at the time, and I said, hey sir, you know anything about this Southern Museum of Flight? I'm thinking about throwing my hat in the ring for this gig. And he says, as a matter of fact, Brian, I know it very well. I sit on the board of directors over at the Southern Museum of Flight. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, you know, right?
Yeah.
Cha-ching. Yeah. And he must have put in a nice word for me or wrote a nice letter of recommendation because I ended up starting over here shortly thereafter. I started here in the education department. Done a number of things prior to moving into my current position, and I took over as the executive director from my predecessor who retired in 2014. So I've been here, you know, what, 17, 18 years
yeah.
now. It's been great. I've done a little bit of everything at the museum, and I sort of saw it as the confluence of a lot of my worlds coming together, right? The military background, we have a huge military orientation here at the museum, right? I was a parachutist at one time, both military and civilian jumps. That coupled with my history background, I skipped over the fact that I went back and finished my PhD. I did that through a program. At the time, it was a joint program with the University of Alabama. Some of the classes we had at the UA campus, some were at UAB. I finished that in 14. So right around the time that I took over as the executive director here. So yeah, man, it's been a blast. It's like getting up and work, it was your hobby, right? So it's really not work, it's something you do. If you ask me some of the things I do for fun, I mean, man, that if we went out beyond these walls, you'd see it. I genuinely love this stuff.
Now, I just want to rewind just a little bit because you were living life on the coast of Texas. You made the decision to move to Alabama to get that master's in history. Why?
I really fell in love with the faculty, so I did my undergraduate work in criminal justice. All right, and I don't know. I think I had saved the world syndrome. I was thinking about law school. Maybe I was going to go out there and fight the good fight. Perhaps law enforcement. I wasn't too sure. When I decided to go back to school after a break after my undergraduate career, I said, I had a great mentor as a history professor, as an undergraduate. And man, I just really enjoyed that about my undergraduate experience. And I said, if I'm going to do this again, I want to enjoy that graduate experience now as I'm a little bit older. And yeah, man, the folks in the history department at UAB were great mentors of mine. Some have since retired, some are still there. I still keep in touch with some. We're able to do a lot of collaborative work. Today, I have interns coming next semester from UAB. So yeah, it's been great.
You joked off the top that, yeah, I wanted to be a museum curator when I grew up, which obviously it wasn't the case. You had the hero syndrome, but you had an interest in history. Where does that come from?
That's a good question. I think if I could have gone back in time, maybe as a younger undergraduate student, I may have pursued a career in academia at that time. So I can't say, but I can tell you this. I remember standing in front of a large lecture hall at UAB for the first time, and I was a graduate assistant, working as a TA as well, right? Trying to make a little bit extra coin. And I was taking over. The professor couldn't be there for whatever reason that day, so I delivered a portion of a lecture. They asked if I was comfortable with it. I said, "Yeah, sure," and did that. And then maybe I handed out a quiz or a test or something thereafter. I can't exactly recall, but what I do recall is that feeling of, man, I think this is what I was supposed to do. It was like a 8 a.m. class or something, right? Like 8 to 8:50, So afterwards, it was this natural high. I felt like I needed to go to the pub and celebrate, but it was, 9 o'clock in the morning. But that I think that's when I knew, right? I had a moment. And then later on, when I was here at the museum and I was working more, I guess, as a practitioner here in the public history realm, I had a visit one day from one of my former professors at UAB, and he brought a guest who had a direct relationship to one of the exhibits. And as we're walking around and I'm touring them, I had another one of those moments, like, man, I think this is what I was supposed to do. So, yeah, I've been fortunate to do a little bit of both of those things. So that's been pretty cool.
And you have married different worlds. I mean, you were in the U.S. Army Airborne School. You're a part of the U.S. Coast Guard. When did you start getting involved in those? Was that before you were getting your master's? So you already had that background?
When I went into the Coast Guard, I already had my master's, and then I had finished my doctorate as a reservist. So I'm still a reserve officer today. I've been pretty fortunate in that career too, to have some pretty cool duty stations. I'd say there really aren't any really bad ones in the Coast Guard. They're pretty cool. I've even been in the interior, sort of Midwest, along some of our river systems. So yeah, so that's been a great part of my career as well. As a matter of fact, we're working on a Coast Guard display, so we're paying homage in some future exhibitions to the state's military aviation history. So, state of Alabama is home to Army Aviation, down at formerly Fort Rucker, now named Fort Novosel, and the state of Alabama is also home to Coast Guard Aviation and the Aviation Training Center down in Mobile.
When it comes to the Southern Museum of Flight, how old of a museum is that? Because it's been around for a little bit.
Yeah, the museum actually traces its roots back to 1966. So we started out as a handful of display cases in the library at Samford. Back when Samford University was making the transition from their old Howard College days to what we now know as Samford University. And our founder, the woman we credit with founding the museum, was a young aviation pioneer herself by the name of Mary Alice Beatty. And she and her husband bring the first items of the collection together in a handful of display cases there at Samford. And we've grown over the years. We've been in our current location since 1983. We've seen some expansion efforts over the years in the 90s and into the early 2000s. We've grown to include over 100 aircraft now in the collection. I think we're at 107
Wow.
aircraft now, yeah, in the collection, and a whole host of other smaller items, engines, and I was mentioning before too, there's a pretty heavy military slant to the collection. Probably two-thirds of the collection has a military orientation. Yeah, so the roots of aviation history in Birmingham and the roots of aviation history throughout the state of Alabama run deep, all the way back to the Wright brothers, right? The beginning of powered flight. And that's a whole other story, right? But we're not too far away from Montgomery. The Wrights will come here, and by 1910, they've established the country's first flight school, first civilian pilot training program. That gets pretty cool too, as Wilbur's taking a tour of the South and he's making a stop in Jacksonville, and he's kind of disappointed in what he's seeing. No offense to my friends down in Florida. A gentleman down there mentions Montgomery to him and says, "Have you checked out Alabama?" And he's really he's thrilled about sort of the flatter land and the temperate climate and whatnot. Relatively speaking, year round, it's not too terrible to fly year round. So yeah, set up the first flight school there. That's grown over the years. During World War I, it becomes a maintenance facility. We now know, Montgomery for being, the home of Maxwell Air Force Base and what that's become.
As a kid that grew up around airplanes, my dad was he was a staff sergeant in the Vietnam War for the Air Force, and then he worked for Northwest Airlines. So I have this huge attachment to airplanes, airlines, and the entire industry. And I've taken them to the Southern Museum of Flight. It's a hidden gem in Birmingham. It's got great artifacts, fantastic airplanes. How does the word get out to more people so they can experience the Southern Museum of Flight?
Yeah, so hopefully you have a huge following here, and we're doing that right now, right? So you're helping me in that sense, and it's always a privilege for me, and I thank you again for having me on board for this. Anytime that I can get out into the community, physically or virtually, and talk about the good things that we do, man, if there's anything I like more than what I do, it is getting out in the community and talking about, the good work that we do here. We're on the verge of several more expansion projects, potential to develop a second museum campus out adjacent to my friends over at the Barber Motorsports Park and the Barber Vintage Motorsports Museum. They do a fabulous job out there. we're in the process right now of a bit of transition here at our East Lake campus, as we have recently become a remote site, sort of a branch campus, of, if you will, of our Alabama Community College system. So we've recently partnered with Snead State Community College to bring aviation maintenance programs within the workforce development sphere here to the Birmingham metro area, which did not exist. And we're looking to grow those programs as well. So pretty soon we're going to have, you know, a good bit more of an academic and workforce development slash training orientation to our current site right here in the greater East Lake community. And what's great about that too, Greg, is that we're not three blocks from the airport, literally to my right, which makes it great when it comes to relationships with our industry partners. You know, you mentioned your father and that connection, being around the industry, working with Northwest Airlines, having relations with our industry partners down the street, whether they be at the FBO, the airlines themselves, any of the corporate aviation entities around the Birmingham airport, as there are several of those. Man, it's great for things like internships, apprenticeships, things of that nature. So it's great for our local students as well. That type of exposure and being logistically close just makes it that much better.
You mentioned the tidbit about the Wright brothers, you know, having the connection to Alabama. What's an interesting nugget that you learned that most people probably don't know about aviation in Alabama?
Oh, okay. So here's one for you. So bit of local history, I guess. I picked up on this right away because I was unfamiliar being an immigrant from, you know, the Republic of Texas at that time. I would hear it all the time on the radio in the morning, the traffic reports, right? There was always an accident or something at Messer Airport Highway and something else, right? I heard it all the time. Mm-hmm. Still hear it at times, right? Or there's a traffic jam or something there. And I didn't know who Messer was. So early in my days here at the museum, I learned about Glenn Messer. He was an early aviation pioneer, early aviator himself. He was considered an early bird. Early birds were folks who flew in the years before 1917, before American involvement in World War I. And he was, you know, so a contemporary of some of the earliest, you know, powered flyers like the Wrights themselves. Inventor, you know, had some patents on some pretty cool pieces regarding aircraft. You know, successful businessman in Birmingham. So yeah, man. So going back to those, you know, those roots of aviation throughout the state, throughout the city, you know, they really do run deep. And then considering today, right? Not just considering, I guess, well, also considering from those earliest days of powered flight, the Wright brothers themselves through the space race, right? That we grew up in the wake of, and to the aviation footprint throughout the state today, it's massive. You know, our manufacturing friends at Airbus and their facilities in Alabama, Boeing, the Lockheed facilities here. I mean, that has grown exponentially over the years as well.
You've got to merge different aspects of your life, you know, being just the interest in flight, the background in the Coast Guard and the Army, your education PhD, the history master's, all into this position. What's it been like?
Yeah, you know what? I would probably draw parallels to my friends, say in the K through 12 world, right? In education, where you may be passionate about education itself, or perhaps one of the academic disciplines, right? So even growing up, you know, I probably, looking back on it now, had thoughts of, yeah, you know, I could probably do the teacher thing. Right? Yeah, I could be a teacher. And then, you know, gravitating toward one particular academic discipline, say within the social studies or the social sciences. And like a teacher, right, I get into academia for, you know, the passion and wanting to pass that knowledge on to others. And then at some point, right, like what usually happens with teachers is you know, they're pulled out of the classroom and they become, you know, the assistant principal or the principal of the school, right? Or the administrator. So I think a lot of times I would liken it to being a teacher who's been pulled out of the classroom, right? And into administration, right? So yeah, I'm sure no one says, well, maybe there are some out there that say, I want to be a principal, right? Or I want to be an administrator when I grow up. But probably doesn't happen as often as, you know, those kids that say, I want to be a teacher. And I think, you know, that's what got me into this. And then, you know, after, you know, hands-on practical experience, after the, you know, formal education side of it, you know, I was able to bring those things together and hopefully create something pretty cool here at the museum.
You obviously had that interaction with the faculty at UAB that was on the board at the Southern Museum of Flight. So that ties you directly to where you are now, and that helped tremendously in your career. But how else has UAB helped you in your career to where you are right now?
From everything to the faculty through my master's program to my PhD, whom I still keep in touch with, those faculty members that I engaged early on that were mentors when it came to the history side of things, how to do research, that I still keep in contact with, still supported me, and I've tried to reciprocate as they brought classes here, maybe as part of their experience and continue teaching with the university, to the friends I made in my PhD program at UAB, those that sat on my dissertation committee that I still talk with today, that we still engage in research, that I still engage in research with, as sort of a complement to what I'm doing here. You know, in thinking about what all that means, it's a sense of small community for me, I guess, if I could sum it up with one word, you know, and if not that, then, you know, family, right? As some of these folks have become some of my best friends as well over the years, and colleagues, you know, at the same time, striking that balance. Yeah. And we have great working relationships. I mentioned, you know, our internship program here, and that's grown to include a whole host of other schools. It's been great that family's grown to be sort of like a small community, and, you know, hopefully I've been a part of making it to a bit of a larger community as well.
That's Brian Barsanti. In 2004, Brian earned his master's degree in history from the College of Arts and Sciences before being awarded his PhD in educational leadership from the School of Education in 2014. Today, he is the executive director and historian at Birmingham's Southern Museum of Flight. As someone who has a deep passion in aviation, and let's face it, dragons do fly, Brian definitely has a great idea of what it means to be a blazer.
And thinking back upon the words I used earlier, family and community. So I guess in a sense, then, it's really about those relationships, right? And, you know, with that comes so much more, right? Wanting to grow those, wanting to give back in certain respects, financially, sure, but also in other areas, right? Helping to grow and develop others. That's why, you know, at the heart of things, you know, being an educator, you know, I truly want to see, say, those interns from UAB succeed. Shoot, I skipped over a graduate intern we have now, right? Who's working on a project right outside these doors, you know, genuinely want to see, you know, him succeed, because I genuinely care about the organization. I care about the organization he's a part of, right, at UAB. I care about the academic discipline he's engaged in right now as a history graduate student. I want to see that thrive and be well represented too.
Be sure to check out past episodes of the UAB Green and Told podcast. Listen in at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold. Have a story to share or know someone who does? Email greenandtold@uab.edu. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media. Just search UAB Alumni on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and until next time, go Blazers!